We'll call the meeting back to order. The open forum section was the last item that we completed, and we're going to come back to the petitions. Director Kirschman, thanks for joining us again. I think we'll just do these individually, 7, 8, 9. Tell us your thoughts after you're done with your portion of each one, Tom. That'll be the time where commissioners are able to ask questions of you or any of the petitioners or somebody else that's been here to testify today. And then obviously we have to take action on these individually.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. So again, you have the three petitions, the one for the cap on archery antelope and archery deer. And if I may, Mr. Chairman, it's going to be somewhat of a combined conversation because they're very similar, if that's all right. Yeah. But there will be some specific items to each one. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to all the people, first to Mr. Rogers for bringing forward the petitions and continuing this conversation. We know this is one that has gone on for quite some time. I'd also like to thank the individuals that shared some of their thoughts and perspectives with you as a commission and for us as the agency. I think what becomes very clear and very obvious when you have even just a short open forum that we did with collectively approximately 10 individuals providing some input and feedback on this particular topic, it doesn't take long to figure out that there are multiple opinions, different interests, and different desires when it comes to opportunities when we talk about hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation. In this particular example, as we talk about archery deer hunting and archery antelope hunting, certainly holds that very true. There are different perspectives on what this should look like out there. There are different ideas that how these issues should be handled. But the one area that we have seen probably and most recently, and in particular, as you hear and read the information in the petitions and what was presented here today, there's two items that really stick out in our mind as an agency that are some of the top issues, if maybe not the top issues. And that is number one, the concern over mule deer harvest. And number two, that pressure or competition or however you want to describe it on public lands. I would say the majority of the individuals that provided testimony to you today, somewhere within their explanation, they hit on either one or both of those particular items. So we know that is a topic of concern and issue for many folks out there. And there's a lot of pieces that come with that, and there's a lot of reasons for those concerns that are being expressed here today in the petitions and the testimony to you. A couple of the quick things that were talked about, you know, this, it's sometimes brought up that, is this a biological issue? Is it a social issue? The one thing and first thing that I want to say is in South Dakota, we probably have more, when you look at it from deer, we have more deer hunting seasons than many other states, if not all other states. We probably have the most complex system that provides deer hunting opportunities, at least in this upper northern Great Plains or upper Midwest. From our firearm seasons to our archery seasons to our muzzleloader seasons, whatever it might be, we've certainly over time have added more and more hunting seasons to provide those opportunities. And what we've also seen is those opportunities have also resulted in more and more growth and more people enjoying the outdoors, which obviously is one of our primary objectives, not only as an agency, but you as a commission as the state of South Dakota. So we know that that complexity is out there, and it's not easy just to pinpoint one thing. But with all those different seasons, I do want to share again that as an agency, and in particular, our biologists and our managers, they spend considerable time and effort and evaluation, discussions and consideration, not only amongst themselves, but with our law enforcement staff, our wildlife damage specialists, landowners, other hunters, evaluating all those seasons and opportunities out there. And the one comment that I want to make in respect to that is everybody has in their most highest interest of managing that herd and managing the population herd properly. We want to make sure that those resources are doing well, and we also want to provide those opportunities. Take the example of the antelope seasons. When we saw the recruitment information, we saw the survey information, We came back with recommendations to make changes to that firearm season based on that information that we had. And that information was very beneficial in bringing those recommendations to you. And I use that as an example again, just to reemphasize that our staff are very committed to managing those resources out there, making sure that we have healthy populations. There's outside factors we deal with that we can't control sometimes, right? And we have to respond and adjust and move forward with those. But just wanted to share that again, because our staff do a phenomenal job of evaluating all the information and managing these herds out there for the good of all users. I would tell you, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, we had a lot of internal discussions on these three petitions, the two of them in particular on deer and antelope, and putting a cap on there to address what we believe is the primary issue of mule deer harvest and that pressure on public lands. And the petitions in front of you, Liz is shutting me down already.
3 minutes ago.
The petitions in front of you is a alternative or an approach to addressing those issues that are out there that are expressing concerns by South Dakota bow hunters. We also believe that there could be other alternatives or other options as well that could address these that quite honestly merit some further discussion and consideration as well. And some brief discussions with some of you and some other staff and even some other people that have interest in that, there's other alternatives that have been thrown to the table just quickly off the cuff. And again, that is the reason, justification, that people have a high interest in these issues and have a lot of different perspectives on these particular issues. So while we appreciate and honestly are glad that they brought this forward again, because we know this is a topic that has been pushed down the road, and we would recognize that this is a high level of concern for folks out there, and some type of adjustment needs to occur. At this point in time, we don't believe that we should just restrain ourselves to one option at this point, and that option being the petitions in front of you. We believe that there are some other alternatives that should be considered and woven into that conversation. Reach out to some other people with some more formal conversations, some other organizations, individuals, to get some of those other ideas and perspectives. What we as an agency like to do is to bring forward alternatives and options to you as a commission body and throw out the pros and cons to some different alternatives of moving forward into the future to help address some of these issues and maybe some other ones. And so based on all that, and another key point of the petitions in front of you, even if you should move forward today and accept these petitions, from a process standpoint and a timing standpoint, these would not be implemented until the fall of 2023, regardless. The hunting seasons would be in place. There's applications that have been received and approved already. So should you move forward with these particular petitions, they would be applied for the 2023 fall, not this 2022. So knowing that factor as well, and some of the issues that we believe need some further discussion, our recommendation to you on the antelope, cap on antelope, as well as the petition on the cap of 2000 for the archery deer, would be to deny. But that being said, with a commitment from the agency working with folks out there to continue these conversations and bring forward a suite or a list of alternatives or other options to consider this winter, so that we could have those discussions, have some more finality to them, and have them in place for the fall of 2023. I don't know what that list looks like at the moment. I have an idea of some of the concepts that would be discussed, but there could be some more out there that we're just not thinking of at the moment, and there would be benefit to doing that. So in respect to those two petitions, that's where we stand as an agency right now. We would recommend denial, but with the understanding that we will continue this conversation. We're not just going to push it to the wayside. This winter, next spring, also is a time where our staff and our agency will be working on updating the deer management plan, and there's going to be a lot of other conversations that go on as well. But we want to work on this topic and bring forward a list of alternatives or options for you to consider this winter, and we would be committed to doing that. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go on to the third petition, if I may, real quickly, and provide a few comments in respect to the fees of these big game licenses. Fees are always one that are brought up. There's been the examples that have been shared about where our big game license fee compared to some surrounding states. There are a few other states, three of them in particular, if I remember off the top of my head, that we're actually a little bit higher than them, that they're just below us. And then there are a few states, in particular, Iowa and Montana, if I remember correctly, that are substantially higher than us. What I would say is we probably fall right in the middle or the average. So it's not always a clear and complete comparison as well. The habitat stamp has been brought up a few times as well. Remember, that was implemented basically a year and a half ago. The habitat stamp is relatively new, and there are many of our sports out there, both residents and non-residents, that look at that as a license fee. It's something that adds to them, even though you're required only one habitat stamp per year per person, whether you're buying those hunting, fishing licenses or a combination thereof. And again, so that has been somewhat of a fee adjustment that has occurred over the last year and a half. Now, again, those fees are very restricted to how we can use them, but certainly goes into the overall grand scheme of all of our programs and projects that we do. I think what's probably most important to share in respect to fees, we have not had an overall fee package for quite some time as an agency. We didn't bring anything again this year. Is that something that we're going to do in the future at some point in time? Most likely. When is that going to be? Is it next year, the year after, 3 years from now? Can't answer that at this point in time. But I think what's really important to understand are two factors of it. Number one, when we bring fee packages to the commission, it's for a need basis. Do we need those dollars to make sure that our programs are still happening? Do we need those to expand certain priorities? The last thing we want to do is adjust a fee just because it's a concept to adjust the fee. We want to do it on a need basis. And the other thing that we are always very cautious about and what we don't want to do, as we talked about opportunity as well, we don't always believe that having an increase in fee is to purposely exclude somebody or not give somebody the opportunity to participate in some outdoor recreational opportunity. Now, that's not to say that our fees shouldn't be adjusted and certain licenses could use some adjustment. That's fair, no doubt about it. But I think we want to be very careful about making fee adjustments with the purpose or intent to exclude somebody from the ability or an opportunity to participate in the outdoor recreational opportunities that we have in this state. So for a couple of those reasons, at least right now, our recommendation on the fee one would be to deny this one as well. And if we're going to have some fee adjustments, instead of just picking out one or two different fees, we also believe that there's merit, and that should be in a collective conversation when we're looking at all fees, whether it's hunting, fishing, whatever licenses that we might be looking at and contemplating adjustments moving into the future. So, Mr. Chairman, those are a couple of quick points that I'd like to share with you and the rest of the commissioners on the petitions. Again, we appreciate the folks bringing this forward. But at this time, we really believe that the best approach would be to take one step back, deny this, and then move forward with a collective, thorough conversation and discussions and look at the options or the alternatives that we could bring forward to you that would help address these main concerns that have been brought forward. As we believe that there are smaller other alternatives that should be in the mix. And some of those are license types. Some of those have been talked about, private land, public land. There are other mechanisms and other venues that can help address these issues. And we believe that they should all be part of that conversation and then make some final decision moving forward with that to obtain additional public input on something that we know is going to be, number one, controversial, and number two, highly important to a lot of people. And so we believe that our due diligence is necessary to address these types of issues and conversations. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn that back over to you and try to answer any questions that you or the other commissioners may have.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. Does anybody have any questions for Tom? Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast, what type of time frame are you looking at if we deny these? And what are you thinking on structure, how to get these other ideas and when will we address it again?
Through the chair, Commissioner Beast, we've had a few conversations about exactly what that structure would look like. a stakeholder group has been brought forward here today, or it's been mentioned by a few people. It could be a stakeholder group. At one time, we even talked about hiring an outside facilitator to facilitate some conversations. I don't know that we would have the time frame to do something like that by this winter, but we would certainly have some public meetings. We would have some invitations by some organizations, SDBI, obviously one of them, bringing this petition forward. But there's other organizations and entities and individuals that we would want to include in those conversations. From a timing standpoint, we would like to bring you a list of alternatives or options to consider at that December to January timeframe, so that those could be discussed this winter. You could then do the commission process rule promulgation, because these would all be rule processes that would have to be done, that they could then be completed in the spring and have available if there's adjustments that we would need to make from licensing, the go outdoor system, for if there are limited numbers for drawings, we need the time to do that type of programming, applications, all those different things for implementation for 2023.
Also, if we didn't turn these two petitions down on the archery deer and antelope, that would go out 60 days, which would put it into the October meeting, right? Just for comment period, right? From the public. But that don't mean that we could not, at the end of that 60 days, come up with some ideas and actually change that petition at that time. And would we have to act on it by then? Or we could say it's still a working in progress and extend it till like November or December just to start the process now?
Yep. Through the chair, Commissioner Beast, yes, you could do that. From the petition standpoint, and Mr. Kotelnik, please jump in if I speak incorrectly here. You don't have the ability to change the petition as it is written and brought forward to you. You'd have to accept it or deny it as brought to your attention. But once you accept it, you begin the rule promulgation process. And then as you move forward with public comment, you as a commission body would have that ability to come in and modify, adjust, or amend that proposal, because once you accept it, it basically becomes your proposal moving forward, and you could accept public input through public hearings and you could make those adjustments.
So with that process going on, would it be bad to start getting public input now by accepting it? And then as long as we can change and interject it down the road, we'd already be 2 months ahead by getting public comment.
Commissioner Beast, the only thing that I would caution from that standpoint is you'd only be technically collecting input on the proposal that you have out there, not maybe some of the other alternatives or options that would be available that you want to get comment on as well. And so it'd be our belief that the more proper approach would be is to put together, have those conversations with some folks, put together that list of alternatives and options, bring those to you, and then decide, is there one that you really like that you'd want to put out for public comment? Or is there a couple of them that you'd like to put out there based on the pros and cons to give public input on?
Commissioner Spring?
Tom, could a guy have by November have the meetings with all these different organizations and bring proposals ahead by November, and then by, you could put it out to the public, and then, I mean, would it be good to set a time schedule? I don't want to see this slide too far.
No, Commissioner Spring, could we bring by something by November? We potentially could. I mean, it's going to take some time and effort for us to get our staff together and put the different meetings and the whole scheme together. November would be a possibility. If you want to put a definitive date, I would offer to you that give us to the December meeting that we would bring a list of options and alternatives. We would absolutely make sure that we do that. I say that from the standpoint of giving us that one more month, because here we are middle July, just about, till we even get started and start pulling some thoughts and process together would be, you know, the end of July, right at August, and would have a couple of months. Now, if you would prefer and you want to see November, we will bust hard and make that happen. But we agree, a time frame for this winter and set a date and a process to do that is a proper thing to do.
Commissioner Larkin.
Yeah, Commissioner Larkin here. I had some good advice one time years ago. He said, guy told me when things get a little crazy, the best thing to do is step back and take a good look at things. You know, there's some people we haven't heard from today. And thank goodness we had the people making comments, but we didn't probably do justice to them, only giving them 2 minutes. We didn't hear anything from the firearm hunters. We didn't hear anything from the landowners, both the non-resident and resident. We didn't hear anybody from that are real close to the population centers. Archery does have an effect when you're close to a big population center. I think we know that Minnehaha County has had more deer taken with archery than they have the rifle season lately. So I guess I would like to maybe take a stronger look at this, give people more time to comment, a little more time to make their comments, and we're going to be going, our next meeting will be in Sioux Falls, I believe. Let them have some comments on it and start working our way into it and probably end up at some kind of a stakeholder meeting where everybody has a say in it. It's going to be a big decision that's going to affect us for a long time here. Thank you.
Commissioner Risler.
Tom, it was mentioned by a few folks that we are the only state left that allows unlimited non-resident license. Why is that?
Through the chair. Commissioner Risler, you're right. Nebraska just changed. They went to and have now a maximum number of cap on non-resident licenses as well. I would say in the grand scheme of things, probably the number one reason why we haven't had a cap and it's been unlimited providing those opportunities is because we have not seen it as a biological impact to the herd or the population across the state. Now, there could be a local area, a small spot that could have more of an impact. But when we look at it from the grand picture, looking at it at a statewide level, it hasn't been a biological impact in terms of the harvest occurring from archery hunting in respect to the deer numbers, for example, or antelope. Now, the conversation about pressure, the conversation about, you know, competition, the conversation about seeing a lot of other non-resident hunters or other hunters in locations, while that's existed the whole time, that's probably coming to a higher level now today than even 5 years ago and obviously 10 years ago. So that's probably the primary reason why it has been unlimited is because of the biological factor that it has not had an impact on our numbers. Now, there's going to be certain years where we do deal with hard winters. We deal with disease issues that does have an impact on overall numbers. And then you have harvest on top of that. Those things can all be collectively considered and have to be looked at. But in the general context over the years, it hasn't been proven that it's been a biological factor. There are these other issues that are associated that have come more to the forefront that are bringing these conversations in.
Just 1 second, Mr. Secretary.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to clarify one thing, though. The unlimited aspect of it is for archery, and it's for mule deer and antelope. For whitetail, I, as a non-resident, go to Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and get an unlimited over-the-counter license for archery. But that's pertaining more towards whitetail deer. So this issue is predominantly focused on archery, antelope, and archery mule deer harvest.
Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, thank you, Tom. As you explained, and Secretary Roebling is kind of clarified that whitetail seems to be not a big part of this conversation or hasn't been recently. I think that would be another thing. Hopefully we could pick up some more information on how folks feel about that. But then also the whitetail also on this public lands pressure. I think those are predominantly mule deer areas where that also is a concern, which brings, you know, both related to mule deer.
Yeah. So Commissioner Whitmire, it's certainly, especially in the western part of the state, and there's parts in central South Dakota as well, obviously, where people are out there mule deer hunting, but it's also whitetail area or vice versa. They're mule deer hunting, wanting to mule deer hunt or whitetail hunting, and that pressure can move deer off and cause some of those issues to happen out there. Again, as Secretary Rowland just said, and I said in my earlier remarks, we know that the two crux or the two main issues related to this topic is mule deer and then on those public lands. And again, I think there are some alternatives of ways that we can bring forward to help address some of those issues. I don't know that we can come forward with a solution that's going to take care of everybody's ideas or concerns or what they want to see happen out there. But I do believe that there are some solutions and some alternatives that can certainly help address those concerns out there.
Other questions or comments? Commissioner Beast.
I just want to thank everybody that brought these petitions forward, and a lot of work went into it. I strongly believe in the direction they're starting to go, and we owe it to them to do something. I've been saying for several years now about how our mule deer herds are, especially in the southwest part of our state, are greatly reduced, and we need to do something because they're getting very, very low. And same with the antelope. And now, you know, the department did their job. They went out, did the research, and found out, yeah, we need to do something. And we're taking the steps to do it. But we need to go a little bit further, I think, and get these herds coming back. Because if we get the animals back, the people get to come back. I've said that 100 times. We don't have the animals, we can't have the people out there. We want the people, so let's have the animals go with it. And that's just my comment, and I hope this turns out good here in December, and we can get a plan put together for the people that brought these petitions forward.
Commissioner Risley.
Thank you. I would echo what was just said as well. It gives me a little bit of heartburn to approve the denial, but I do think it's the right direction to go. This approach is a approach, but it's not the approach. And when we hear comments that our non-residents are getting tags over our residents, that's hard to hear. But we do want non-residents here. I mean, they are part of our, they help the economy, the local economy. They bring those monies in, and we appreciate that. But our residents live here every day, and they help those economies every day. And so I just, when we come back together and we bring everybody to the table, it would be good to hear from everybody that will be impacted by the change, but I do think some change is needed.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'd make a motion to deny it this time.
Just going to write down. You need to do these individually, correct?
Individually. The archery antelope.
Been a motion to deny archery antelope by Commissioner Bees. Seconded by Commissioner Spring. Any comments on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We'll go on to the deer license allocation. And a motion on that.
I'm on to reject.
It's been a motion to reject by Commissioner Locken, seconded by Commissioner Bartling. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, keep.
Yeah, just a comment on that. Certainly, that really stands out, and I thank the Bow Hunters Association for bringing this discussion. I mean, specifically on that, on the take of this was such a small number of hunters on that non-resident portion, almost equating the 30,000 resident hunters. That's not nothing. I will vote to deny, but with the full intent that we will look at that further and come up with, do our best to come up with something equitable to all parties. I think the public land versus private land, I think does even. I mean, when you look at 150 does on archery, I mean, that's not a big number, but when we kind of close opportunity for our youth in trying to grow that population back. It's kind of tough to not look at the 150 milli dose that we're taking with archery in 21 as well. But with that, want to make people fully aware that we are really wanting to do something here, and we'll be in contact with staff and see what we can do moving forward. Thank you again.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion to deny, indicate by saying aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The deer and the antelope license fees. There's been a motion to deny, seconded by Commissioner Ristler. Motion was by Whitmire. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, and thank you for the discussion and conversation on this. So to be very clear in our commitment to this as well, we will pull together a plan that will be on paper, a document. We'll send that to you towards here the end of the month or very early August that you have it. You can see what our overall approach is going to be, what that looks like. We'll take any type of comment or recommendations that you might have for that as well, and adjust that and start our work. And then what we can do is we'll put it as an agenda item, if you'd like, at the September meeting and do any of the follow-up conversations at that point in time. So this is always part of our conversations, discussions, and then with the commitment that we will bring alternatives or options at our December commission meeting. And in between that August, beginning of August here, end of July through the December meeting, having those conversations, meeting with people, and pulling together some options that can be in front of you to have further discussion and put out then for as a more formal proposal, if I may. So if you're comfortable with that, we will certainly make that happen.
Yeah, I appreciate the comments, and it's often difficult when you're chairing the meeting to champion spirited debate and conversation without tilting your hand on an issue. And I too, I want to get the rest of the commission's input and then see the process run its course. But it's my personal opinion too. Something needs to be done. We've been accused of kicking the can down the road for far too long. And so I'd like to, even though I don't get to get into the conversation and debate as much as I'd like to, because I don't want to do any precursory remarks to any motions, I think that I do have the privilege as the chair to put a little more directive into this and state that, I want some guide rails on this that specifically says that the secretary and the department will look at the non-resident mule deer on public lands opportunities, as well as that of the antelope non-resident archery opportunities on public land, and work with the petitioners, stakeholders, without calling it a stakeholder, but the other affected and interested parties. We all know who they're going to be, because they're going to come to the surface and bring back a recommendation or series of recommendations to us for certain for action at no later than the December meeting, because that will give us plenty of time. As we've said before, nothing we were going to do today is going to change the 2022 season, but by doing an action by the December meeting, we certainly will have enough time to go through the notice, the public hearings, and get everybody's input and have it finalized and through the legislative review and rules process by the time we need to start the next season date for 2023. So, I can't make my own motion, but if I'm supported on that, I would certainly entertain a formal motion from the commission to echo those comments. It's been a motion by Commissioner B, seconded by Commissioner Bartling, that the department and the secretary work with the affected parties, the petitioners, and other advocacy groups on both sides of the issues to bring back a menu item of acceptable changes to the current status quo. Is there any discussion on that? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. before anyone leaves, I think it's only fair to let the secretary kind of have the last word on the petitions, and if he disagrees with the direction we're heading, I'd certainly like to hear about it now than rather than tonight at 8 o'clock. So.
No, Mr. Chairman, I wholeheartedly agree with the direction you just provided us as a department, and I also want to thank the petitioners for bringing forward these petitions and igniting the conversation. As an avid archer myself, as a public land warrior myself, I also seen the anecdotal observations of increased pressure on public lands. I hunt all on public lands, 100% public lands, and it's real. And so doing nothing isn't an option. And I appreciate this very robust, good conversation about the issue at hand. It's only going to continue. I'm eager to work with staff. I know staff have had this on their radar for years, and it's time we address it and bring forward some alternatives and some recommendations we can vet with the public. And I appreciate giving us some more time to do so. In December, we will be seeing you again and making sure that these alternatives are well vetted. So thank you for the direction and very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. With that,